preaching is something I very much like doing. But at the same time, most of the time, when I look at the readings or work on a sermon, and most often when it's over, there's an enormous sense of deficiency. I've not done it. Somehow what's in these texts has not been brought to life or illumined in one way or another. And that's peculiarly true for these readings today, because if there's something that is so alien to us, it is what these readings, especially the first and third ones, are getting at, namely the limitations of human capacity to know. I'm in the learning industry, and that's what it is today, because we talk about product, and we talk about customer, and we don't talk about students or learning. We have a commercial model for the operation. And so this is, this is something that I think I'm fairly competent at. But here we have these readings. And it's not just because I teach and love the classroom, but it's because I'm part of a whole society in the West, which is the inheritors of the tradition of the Enlightenment, which is probably received its classic expression in that famous essay by Immanuel Kant in the 18th century, "What is Enlightenment?" And he coined the Enlightenment motto, which is "Dare to know." Sapere aude. In the 18th century, it made all kinds of sense because you had a repressive government in Prussia. You had a state church, the Lutheran Church, or in the rest of Germany, you had the Roman Church. Very authoritarian in their approach to things. And so everybody was subservient to these things. Everybody was told what to think and how to think. So Kant has articulated a growing sense that this is not the way it should be. And so we have moved from there with the enormous success of the empirical sciences and all kinds of other developments to believing, I think, that we live in a fundamentally rational world. That is, there are two basic suppositions that we make, that the world is knowable and I can apprehend it. I think this is so bone deep in us that we don't even reflect on the fact that that's operating underneath all of our efforts to know. And yet here we have this extraordinary statement which is echoed all over the Bible, in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the New Testament as well, that the fundamental reality underlying all reality is basically mysterious. And a mystery, of course, is not a puzzle whereby with enough industry and effort I can figure it out. A mystery is simply something that embraces me, that I'm part of, and I simply cannot stand outside my own head to examine, analyze, or comprehend. I think this is really important, because this is profoundly countercultural, and for me to talk about this in the West is the sense of failure is almost built in, if you will. I mean, the evidence for this, to take a little tiny example, Harvard University, a couple of weeks ago, decided that grade inflation had reached such a point that they were going to put ceilings on class marks. What's grade inflation? I don't think it is totally barbarous to say, well, we have to convince the little nippers that they know everything, That they really know. They get that A on that piece of paper, and therefore that certifies them as a truly member of the cognoscente, the knowers. They know, and we don't know. I don't know. I think this is something of a stretch, but if you look at what George Bush is doing today, radically changing the whole pattern of U.S. foreign policy and very likely the shape of our world. What is the basis on which he's doing it? Because he knows. He knows. And so he's gonna try to validate preemptive strikes and bring the whole world, I think, very much into chaos as a result. What happens when you know too much too soon? That's the problem, because this is the fundamental religious issue. Arrogance, self-satisfaction, certain smugness. But above all, I think this is the singular problem, a radical incapacity to attend to the other. And to attend to oneself. If Paul and John are right saying who we are is hidden with Christ in God, then even our knowledge of ourselves, even our knowledge of ourselves is fraught with mystery. How does one begin to live in? I mean, there are certain things that are apprehensible. There's no question. Science has done remarkable things. But at the same time, I think, and not just science, but the whole Enlightenment project and its deviations, has presented a kind of hubris to us, intellectual hubris, which is really pernicious. You know? We know too much. We are too certain. And therefore we are too unwilling to question ourselves. So I think that if we attend to the voice of God, however badly mediated through what I've tried to say this morning, then we come up with a counter-intuitive slogan that can underlie everything, not just our self-knowledge or knowledge of the other. It is dare to not know. Because that's where the daring, that's where the audacity is located today. Not the daring to know. I mean, we've assimilated that long since. To dare to not know. Because I think, because I don't operate that way, but I am convinced that if that were really at the foundation of my sense of myself, my sense of the world, I would not go stomping around on other people, on myself, on the natural world, with the kind of insouciance that is characteristic of me and my civilization. And, of course, religiously, the problem is very clear. God simply is eclipsed. Because God simply becomes an item of my knowledge in this great inventory of intelligence that I can create for myself. So, I invite myself, first of all, and you to a sense of deficiency, which is not crippling. See, this is where psychology and abstract knowledge gets very complicated. You say, well, if I don't know, then I can't do anything. Then I'm just disabled. I'm just left supine before the world. Rubbish. Rubbish. I think the impulse to know so much is deeply rooted in our own insecurity about who we are, about what our place in the world is. And so if there were more humility, which is supposed to be, we've listened to the spiritual writers, truth, then we will not be disabled. Rather, there will be a kind of more profound and genuine energy in the search for truth, wherever it's to be found, in the other, in the world, above all in God.